education and trips to Europe. They had the biggest house in town, as white and showy as a bridal gown, and James and his younger sister were both sent to private schools. The Marshalls liked to give parties, big splashy ones with live music and fancy catered food. Mrs. Marshall would always have Crystal come right to the house to do her hair for a party, and Zoe often went along to do Mrs. Marshall's nails. She would dream about that house, so clean and full of flowers and pretty things. It was so wonderful to know people lived that way. Not everyone was crowded into a trailer that smelled of chemicals and stale smoke. She promised herself that one day she would live in a house. It didn't have to be big and grand like the Marshalls, but it would be a real house, and it would have a little yard. And one day she would travel to the places Mrs. Marshall spoke of, New York City, Paris, Rome. She saved her pennies for it from her tip money and the pay she earned from the odd job she took. Well, the pay that didn't go to helping Mama keep the wolf from the door. She was good with money. At 16, she had $414 tucked away in a secret savings account. In April, when she turned 16, she made some extra money helping to serve at one of the Marshalls' parties. She was presentable enough and eager for the work. She wore her hair long back then, a straight stream of black down her back. She'd always been slim, but she'd blossomed in a way that had the boys sniffing around her. She had no time for boys, or not very much. She had long-lidded eyes of golden brown that were always looking, watching, wondering, and a wide, full mouth that was slow to smile. Her features were sharp and angular, adding a touch of the exotic that was a contrast to her innate shyness. She did what she was told and did it well, and kept as much as it was possible to herself. Maybe it was the shyness, or the dreamy eyes, or the quiet competence that attracted James, but he flirted with her on that early spring evening, flustered her, and ultimately flattered her. And he asked to see her again. They met in secret, which added to the thrill. The sheer romance of having the attention of someone like James was overpowering. He listened to her, so her shyness dropped away, and she told him of her dreams and hopes. He was sweet to her, and whenever she could slip away, they went for long drives or simply sat and looked at the stars and talked. Of course, before long, they did more than talk. He said he loved her. He said he needed her. On a soft night in June, on a red blanket spread out on the floor of the summer woods, she lost her innocence to him with the eager optimism that belongs to the young. He was still sweet, still attentive, and promised they'd always be together. She imagined he'd believed it. She certainly had. But there was a price to pay for being young and foolish. She had paid it. And, she thought, so had he. Maybe he'd paid much, much more than she had. Because while she had lost her innocence, James had lost a more precious treasure. She glanced over at that treasure now. Her son. If James had changed her life, Simon had righted it again. In a new way, a new place, the boy had given Zoe her first taste of what it was to be a woman. The child had made her one. She'd gotten her house, her little house with its little yard, and she'd gotten it by herself. Maybe she'd never traveled to all those wonderful places as she'd once dreamed of doing, but she'd seen all the wonders of the world in her son's eyes. And now, nearly 10 years after she'd first held him, first promised him she would never let him down, she was moving forward again with her son. She was seeing to it that Simon had more. Zoe McCourt, the shy girl from the West Virginia hills, was about to open her own business in the pretty town of Pleasant Valley, Pennsylvania, with two women who'd become as much sisters as friends in 2 short months. Indulgence. She liked the name. That was what she wanted it to be for the clients and customers. It would be work, hard work, for her friends. But even the work was a kind of indulgence, as it was